This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show here in beautiful Honolulu. Once again, an early morning cloudy day. You should see it. For those of you out there who still just sleepy eyes and waking up. Today, I have a rather interesting subject that I want to discuss. And as I have talked in the past weeks, we've talked about imported fish and previously frozen treated with carbon monoxide. And I want to give an update. As some of you know, that we file lawsuits against Don Quixote and other major grocers to try and address this behavior of the selling of carbon monoxide treated fish previously frozen imported from other countries. We are actually in agreement now. They have agreed, Don Quixote has actually agreed in part to some of our requests. And we hope to have a finalization this coming week. And they have been working with us and understand and have taken on the responsibility, I should say. And so what happens is that there are others, though, that we are going to be addressing, because this is a very serious health concern. Some of them are saying, well, we can't stop selling it because our competitors will continue to sell it. Well, if it's bad fish and there are concerns about the sanitation, the HACCP concern, just the health of that fish or the quality of that fish, I don't believe that anybody should use that as a justification to continue to sell it, because the other fellow might sell it. If it's bad, it's bad, and so there shouldn't be put a price on it. But what happens is that in looking at all of this, folks, we all talk about outsourcing of jobs, and we talk about people taking their jobs in this global economy and jobs being shipped off to foreign countries. And as I've said earlier in my earlier broadcast, what's happening here right on our shores, we have an industry that's being impacted. It's not a perfect industry. I have raised issues about the environmental concerns, but yet again, it's a legal practice, and that is fishing. It's permitted, but this industry is being impacted from all angles, I should describe it. The fishing industry, the local fishing industry. The fish is being imported, and the fishermen are having to compete. Not only are they having to compete with the foreign imported fish, a lower quality, lower standards, they're having to deal and navigate with these new rules now. Rules of closure, rules of bottom fish closure, rules of just on and on, and they're represented by, the longliners are represented, and this whole effort to manage is done by the Western Pacific Fisheries Council. And having said that, today I'm going to have as a guest Tina Owens, who resides on the Big Island, and she is with the Western and Central Pacific Network here in Honolulu. And there are some issues that she and her organization has raised. And basically, I'd just like to get the ball rolling. And Tina, are you there?
Yes, I am here. And I would like to just make one slight correction. I am with the Lost Fish Coalition and not with the Western and Central Pacific Network. They have been helpful in getting some of the stuff I needed to press. But I am not with them. I'm sort of an independent.
Well, folks, there you go. My first sign of old age settling in. Tina actually told me this morning she was with the Lost Fish, and she even bothered to spell it out. And just see how I did that. Well, anyway, I guess I got to look forward to age coming on me, I guess. But
well, so do I, honey.
but nonetheless, Thank you for sending out the information, and I hope that we can have a healthy discussion. And please feel free to share with the public out there, the listeners.
Uh-huh.
And if you know, and I hope before we close, invite you to be available in the future. Please call in or have you back again on the show.
I'd be delighted.
And so, just tell me about this effort and what your concerns are.
Well, Westpac has been on my radar for many, many years. But I've been involved primarily in state fishery issues here on the west coast of the Big Island for, 10 years or more. And I didn't really pay too much attention to Westpac because they were federal waters and, you know, they're way out there. And I was dealing with nearshore issues particularly. And I got interested in them when they started having hearings about making a potential reserve in the Northwest Hawaiian Islands. I went to some of their hearings here. And they were so bizarre. I mean, you know, they had these things that they wanted people to comment on, and they weren't going to take any opinions that weren't the ones that they wanted.
Uh-huh.
It was so clearly orchestrated, and I thought, that this is ridiculous. You know, people are supposed to come to this public hearing, and they're kind of told that, no, you can't say that sort of thing. I mean, it didn't work exactly like that, but that was the idea. So that's how I've become interested in them over time. I noticed there was something very, frankly, crooked going on there. And in the last several legislative sessions, not this past one so much, but in the two since before that, 2006 and 2007, it was clear that there was a lot of meddling going on by Westpac in the legislature to get some control of state waters. And, I mean, you know, we have enough problem with state waters. We don't need Westpac getting in there and really messing it up. So that's when I got completely involved in following them and what they were doing with the legislature. We did find several independent people who kind of got together because we saw each other at meetings all the time. And we found that there was considerable illegal lobbying of the legislature, which is strictly forbidden for a federal agency. So we filed complaints with the Inspector General of the Department of Commerce in Washington, and they have launched an investigation. And since then, Representative Waxman has launched an investigation into many of their illegal uses of money.
Right. Now, you say they were lobbying. Who were they lobbying?
They were lobbying legislators.
Was that state or federal or which legislators?
State legislators.
Okay, here in Hawaii.
Here in Hawaii.
Okay.
To pass laws that would give Westpac essentially control of nearshore waters.
And this Westpac is a federal agency or an arm of a federal agency, correct?
Yes, Westpac is a strictly federal agency that is only involved in waters 3 miles to 200 miles in Hawaii. That's what we call the EEZ, or the Exclusive Economic Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other Pacific region that is still under Westpac's jurisdiction, there is Guam and the Northern Marianas.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Guam and Saipan are part of the same archipelago called the Marianas, but Guam, Saipan, and the islands north of Saipan, and Tinian and Rota, all those are under Westpac's jurisdiction,
and
as well as American Samoa and some of the remote, you know, the line islands like Johnston and Wake and
right.
places like that.
These areas have representatives, do they?
Yes, they do. The remote islands do not because, you know, they're pretty remote, but there is at least one representative from each of those areas. There is one representative from American Samoa,
okay.
Who is a member. Now, there's also a governmental representative on the council, but he's not the chosen, you know, member. And there are two members from Saipan and one member from Guam.
Okay.
And three from Hawaii.
I see.
Yes.
Now, Again, you've already said this, but I like to let the public be able to. We only have an hour to draw conclusions, but I'd like to help them, and I don't want to plant anything in their mind. But what happens is that this, you're saying a federal agency whose jurisdiction lies within federal waters 3 miles out to the EEZ are basically lobbying our state legislators who only have authority to manage waters from the shoreline 3 miles out?
That's right. That's right. And you say, well, why would they bother if they don't have enough work to do on their own? It has come to my attention that for every management program that Westpac undertakes, they get an administrative fee that goes into their coffers. And I haven't been able to find out exactly where that administrative fee goes. It amounts to about $400,000 a year. Now, I'm looking at budget items. I have put in a Freedom of Information Act request to Westpac simply because they refuse to give out any kind of documents. I mean, absolutely nothing comes out of that office. So I've had to go through the government to do a Freedom of Information Act. And even so, it's been 6 months, and I've had practically nothing of my original request fulfilled. But I did get some budget documents, and it looks to me like there's a lot of money. First of all, the people on the council make a lot of money, and the staff makes an appalling amount of money.
When you say a lot, give the public out there, because in these hard times and cutbacks and whatever, just give them an idea if you have it.
The executive director, Kitty Simons, who has been in the position for 30 years, she makes $220,000 a year.
You got to be kidding.
No. And she has a profit-sharing clause, which makes everybody start because they go, what kind of profit should she be having if she's running a federal agency?
Okay. So.
And senior staff make pretty close to $140,000.
Okay.
And these are the very people that are causing the fisheries to collapse.
And so their decisions actually, do you think they have a negative impact on the local fisheries, the longliners, the other? Do you believe that some of their decisions-making process impact has a negative impact on these fishermen?
Over the years that I have been watching them and looking at their decision-making process, which is very arcane, there are certain individuals and certain industries which profit hugely, and the rest can basically, you know, drop dead.
So, like what the actual fishermen themselves, I'm learning that.
Yeah.
They are really getting ripped, and the big boys on top seem to be, folks, what I've found myself, not just relying on Tina, is that we had a new fishing village, and then we find POP was there. Now, this is not to say anything was done illegal, but it just seems that POP, Sean Martin, Jim
is
Cook,
everywhere.
Is everywhere. They get the lease from the Department of Transportation Harbors, but Jim Cook served as the chairman of that Westpac, correct?
Yes. And Mr. Martin is the present chair.
And so they're in business at POP, and then we have the auction block. So what I'm finding is that the fishermen themselves and is actually getting the short end of the stick, so to speak, and the cost. And so what that translates is to everybody stands back at the auction and POP. I've made calls and attempted to get them involved in bringing this issue about the use of carbon monoxide, for example, in treated fish and importing inferior products and serving it and feeding the people, the citizens of this state and the country, and people are getting sick. I can't get a peek out of them. So, you know, hopefully if they're listening out there, maybe they'll give a call, because I'm seeing the boaters. I mean, it's a legal, allowable practice, the fishing. So, you know, we might have issues with it, but it's legal. It's allowed, and they have license and permits, and they spend their money, and they take their chances. But what I'm seeing is, Tina, is some very serious neglect on the part of the Western Pacific Fisheries Council and others who should speak up on behalf of the fishermen and start addressing some of these issues. But anyway,
go ahead. Exactly. And they have, as I say, they have shown a concern for a very small number of people. For instance, the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, I believe everybody now is aware, have been made by the president into a National Marine Monument, the Papahanao Mokuakea National Marine Monument. And within the monument rules, although it didn't immediately toss out the fishermen who were there, they gave them until 2011 to finish up their fishing operation and move on to someplace else. Well, they are going to get, like, and it's a handful of boats. I think there are only 8 permits extant and only 4 or 5 that actually go up there. Those people are going to get something like $1.6 million in compensation from the government.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is that the lobster industry crashed up there about 10 years ago.
Right.
And that was due to complete mismanagement. It was essentially, you know, they fished it down till they could hardly catch anything in the size limits allowed, so they removed the size limits. And now there's no lobsters, and now the monk seals are dying because they don't have anything to eat. And they're expecting those lobster permits, which haven't been used in 10 years, to be compensated by the government, you know, in the form of, like, millions of dollars. That's crazy. And that's what's going to happen with the bottom fish here. The bottom fish has been in severe decline for the last 10 years or more, and they've known about it. We're talking the main Hawaiian Islands bottom fish. And they've known about it, but they keep messing with the numbers by including the Northwest Hawaiian Islands bottom fish count. But if you consider that they're no longer going to be accessible, and we're looking at only the main Hawaiian Islands bottom fish, we're in big trouble, very big trouble. And the only reason why Westpac is dealing with the bottom fish even now is because the Secretary of Commerce forced them to. And I've been around for the last year when they were discussing this, and one of the major things is that they are absolutely, absolutely against any marine protected areas, which have been proven to work for most fisheries, and they wanted to go with a time closure, in other words, a seasonal closure, which we all know started, you know, last year, and then this year, the closure happened earlier, and it's going longer. The reason why is because most of the bottom fishers, you know, the small guys that go out in their boats from Honokaha Harbor and whatever, they don't generally fish in the summer anyway, is what I understand.
Okay.
So they closed the season in the summer, which did not help restore the stocks any. So the fishing effort continues to be the same, and the fish continue to decline. And there's going to be no more bottom fish very shortly.
Well,
pretty soon, they're going to have to just put a moratorium on bottom fishing.
But this fisheries has been managed by the Western Pacific Fisheries Council in federal waters, correct?
In federal waters, that's exactly right. And it kind of dragged the state into it as well, because some of the bottom fish are in state waters, but most of them are in federal waters. And the whole fishery, as I say, has been under their management for 30 years. And we're going to shortly have no more bottom fish, so it tells me they're doing something wrong.
Well, you know, in speaking of that, and I'm hoping that if there's any bottom fish people out there listening or would like to call in, feel free. Or in the coming weeks, I'm sure Tina would be very happy to sit and discuss, and I would like to hear.
Absolutely.
Also. But, you know, backing up, there's 2 points you mentioned, and I wanted to add to them and share. What I've learned now, this is, I'm looking now for documents, and you talked about the freedom of information process. I've seen rocks grow faster than the federal government and its in some of these agencies in responding to the public now. It's us and them. So the bottom fishermen, and anytime there's an economical impact on fishermen, per se, or whomever. I mean, we see with Aloha Airlines, it closed. It was a private business, but we were extending our Aloha, and, you know, which is good.
Yeah.
So the fishermen, I mean, we just can't leave them
out of the water, and we can demonize them and damn them forever, but the reality is that it makes up the economy here, and there was bad management. But what I've found, and I'm looking for those documents, is that members of the council that were in the upper echelon of the council had fishing, lobster fishing permits. And, and as it's correct, they overfished the Jeebus out of the whole thing. And they wiped it out and continued. And they said, well, we'll even catch the females. And the problem is you catch the lobster and you release them. Well, once you bring them up, it's determined that they go blind once they're exposed. So you really weren't doing anything. You were claiming to help manage, but the management technique was bad. But anyway, in the process of these bottom fishermen had worked and come to agreement, and everything was going along, whether we agree or disagree on the that they were getting their monies compensated. One of the council, the top council members who has lobster permits, chimed in and claims, I want to. This was the chairman saying, I wish to be compensated too. While the fisheries that he was in, they wiped it out.
That's right.
He shouldn't be getting compensated for anything. In fact, he should be paying back.
Exactly. And the point is that I know the exact quote of which you're speaking, and he was claiming that, you know, he has a permit. And since the permits are being compensated, he says, I have a permit, even though it's a permit for a worthless industry now.
An industry that's defunct, out of overfished, and undermanaged.
Right. So essentially, his permit is worthless. So, you know, he should not be compensated for a worthless piece of property. He's not losing anything because there isn't anything to lose. And I agree, he should not be getting compensation from the government.
And yet the longline boats and the bottom fishermen are struggling while the guys on the top is just shaving off. And something isn't right there. And you say there is an investigation to look into these things, or is it one of them?
There are actually two investigations that are ongoing right now. The one is by the Inspector General of the Department of Commerce, and the second is an investigation by the GAO, or the Government Accountability Office. That's a scary organization. These are the guys that have been after, the mortgage crisis, countrywide people, and this is Representative Henry Waxman, who is a real bulldog on getting to the bottom of things. So I have all the hopes in the world that we're going to see some actual results.
Now, you're optimistic because, in my experience here, even as a special agent serving with the federal government, Kitty Simons were, in my original arrival here, trying to address the various issues. She didn't want to document birds, interaction, or anything. So, and she's very well politically connected, and, she howls in the finance factor, which was that whole relationship. And over the years, she has enjoyed a protection from our local Congress and senators.
Exactly.
So hopefully, do you think that Mr. Noy, Mr. Kaka, or anybody else will come to her rescue in this instance, or as usual? Or what's your opinion?
From what I have understood, and I know there have been a number of investigations launched in the past, and they have all been shut down by influential people in Washington, shall we say. I understand that this time, however, those influential people in Washington have said they will not interfere with this investigation, which is, that's kind of a landmark. It tells me that it is going forward. And as I say, hopefully, because there are two separate investigations, that I understand they are going to be working together and sharing information, which is helpful. So, when Representative Waxman's people come in this summer, there could be a major house cleaning. Unless, of course, this house has been cleaned first, which is entirely possible. But I know that they have been so obstructionist. Westpac has been so obstructionist, and not the council so much as the staff, has been obstructionist in giving out information. The word on the street is that nothing leaves that office without Kitty's express approval. And there is actually even a portion of their practices and procedures manual that says that council members cannot talk to anybody without clearing it with Kitty first.
Well, I'm going to take a break, and you hold that thought. Don't lose that, because this is something dear, and I'm sure there's a lot of fishermen out there and a lot of public people who are concerned. And basically what I'm hearing here is that we have the fish peddlers being managed by the influence peddlers.
Yeah.
It's strange. What a strange combination. And with the gas prices of that boats have to spend now, I don't believe they can afford to have mismanagement, corruption, and favoritism. But on that note, if you would hold, we're going to take a short break, and I'll get back with you. And we also have another call, Robert, but hang on, Tina, and thank you.
Okay, I'm here.
This is the Carol Cox Show, and we'll take a break.
Okay. Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
If you're like me, you're looking for ways to save money on gas and help the environment. The EPA Smart Driving Tips could give you more miles per gallon and reduce air pollution. Make sure your tires are properly inflated. Accelerate and brake slowly. Slowly. Be aware of your speed. If you're shopping for a new car, choose the cleanest, most efficient vehicle that meets your needs. If we each adopt just one of these tips, we'd get more miles for our money and breathe a little easier. For more info, visit epa.gov/greenvehicles.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We are having a discussion about fish, the Western Pacific Fisheries Council, and I have Tina Owens with the Lost Fish Coalition. And Tina, are you there?
Yes, I am still here.
Okay, and I have another caller just call in, Robert, who has a little bit of information. I want him to chime in, so can you hold on 1 second, Tina? Robert?
Okay.
Hi, how are you, Robert? Thanks for calling.
I'm pretty good. It's good to hear you people talking about an issue that really disseminated out there into the public, because we just keep eating fish and we have really no idea what the...
You there? We lost Robert. Go ahead, Tina.
I hope we could get him back, because I'd love to hear what he has to say. But what I was talking about earlier... it was about the FOIA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not getting documents. As I say, I have continued to put pressure on them. They have rules in the FOIA process whereby, they really have to get you the documents, or they have to tell you why you can't have them, whether they're, national security reasons or whatever. They can't just not give you the thing. And it's been more than 6 months since I put in my Freedom of Information Act request. I've had a few documents sent to me, but mostly I have not heard anything since March. So I have actually filed an administrative appeal. And if we do not get, I have a lawyer that has been good enough to help me with some of this stuff, and we will sue if we have to get this information, because people need to know what's going on in there, and nobody has had any access to the inner workings of Westpac ever. And
I
that's
see.
What this is all about, is we are trying to see what it is that has been going on in those offices.
Yeah. I can only tell you, and some of you may be angered by this, but I have had many years and written many, many stories about the Western Pacific Fisheries Council, and no one has ever challenged me on the facts that I've raised.
Mm-hmm.
We have a problem here, and the fishermen get demonized, but it's that the high muckety-mucks who circle the wagons up there in the Western Pacific Fisheries Council and NOAA, National Marine Fisheries Service, who bow down. I mean, we have fish being delivered to our state legislators when open session comes.
Right.
And then we have and the untouchables. Kitty, she can pick up the phone and do the backdoor dealing with our state legislators.
Uh-huh.
Very powerful in the sense, but I think that's coming to a head now, and it's people like you, your efforts, your organization, and others who really are digging and scratching to seek justice and straighten this thing out, and I applaud you. But we talked the other day, and you mentioned a conflict of interest in Samoa. Could you give us some details on that? I'm really, it grabbed my attention.
Yeah. Well, this is the reason why these top couple of people make so much money, is that they're basically voting on things that benefit themselves, and they're supposed to recuse themselves from these kinds of votes and things. And what happened most recently is that in the meeting that they had in March in Guam, they were discussing opening up a limited entry small commercial boat program that they had in American Samoa. Apparently, when the limited entry closed, there was one fisherman who had wanted to get into the limited entry but had missed the deadline. And the American Samoa Council representative, Mr. Stephen Halleck, he was saying that, you know, this poor guy, he can't feed his family, and, you know, he really needs to be in this limited entry. So let's open it up again and let this guy get his limited entry permit. Well, they were discussing that, and they voted on it again at the 141st, which is actually a makeup for the invalidated 140th, which was a major screw-up, but that's a whole separate thing. Anyway, they had a discussion, and they had a vote, and Mr. Halleck was part of the discussion, and Mr. Halleck was part of the vote. And after the vote, Representative Peter Young actually... Oh, you know, I didn't realize there were four members from Hawaii. Sorry. Four members from Hawaii. I had forgotten Mr. Young. Peter Young, who used to be our DLNR chair, is now sitting on the council. And he brought up the fact that he had found this one poor fisherman that had lost or had missed out on getting a limited entry permit was, in fact, Mr. Halleck himself. And Mr. Halleck had not disclosed that he even had a boat, much less that he was manipulating this federal regulation so that he personally could get a license.
I see.
And it was extremely embarrassing because this is a clear conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Thereupon, the NOAA General Counsel, at this last meeting last week, the NOAA General Counsel was busy trying to clear it up. Well, not clear it up. He was trying to cover it up by saying, oh,
right.
There's no conflict of interest, and don't worry, he had sold his boat, which it had nothing to do with it. The limited entry permit in itself is worth something.
So he has a permit, and he only filed afterwards, are you saying?
Well, he missed the deadline.
Okay, he missed the deadline, but he never disclosed that he had a boat anyway, regardless of the deadline. He didn't.
Yeah.
So.
And then he was getting Westpac to open up the deadline again so he could get a permit.
Wow.
Yeah, he was manipulating this law But did he's his buddies on the council, so
right,
he could get a permit and make money off of it.
Right. Well, hold on.
Kind of things that happen.
Hold on for a minute. We have Ed on the phone. Ed, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. This, you know, I'm more a recreation fisherman, but listening to this discussion, it seems so very important, and some of the disclosures are being made. I don't know what kind of listening audience you have. Like, this time of day, everybody's at the beach or at the golf course, and they might not be listening to the show. Why don't, in addition, that you try to get a section on a midweek, which is widely read, and write articles regarding this particular subject, so more people informed as to what is going on in this situation.
Well, I don't know about going to midweek. They're an independent. If these issues are out there and they have writers and reporters, but what I can say, Ed, for the listeners out there, you can go to carolcox.com and podcast or download and listen to the show. It's online at carolcox.com, and you can also add a blog there. So feel free, and maybe you might want to write the editor and tell them about Tina and her efforts and her work. And it's interesting. We don't see the subject matter in the mainstream media, whatever
that is. That's what I'm saying. I think this information should get out into the mainstream media since we in Hawaii are fish eaters, and pretty soon we won't have any fish to eat because of the stuff that's going on and
right. The
closing of these areas where you can't fish, and there's a lot of fish there.
Yeah. Well,
may I add something here, Carol?
Go for it, Tina.
Yeah. Hello, Ed. One of the reasons why you don't see too many things is that there has been an active suppression by Westpac of most of the media. My understanding is that Ms. Simons is married to the man who owns the major stock in both the Advertiser and the Star Bulletin. So it makes sense that you're not going to see a whole lot of anti-Westpac things in there.
Yeah. Can I make one more comment?
Help yourself, Ed. Go for it.
This is why I say if someone like Carol Cox should try to get into the media like Midweek, which is independent, and maybe publish a regular section there, an article, like Rick Hamada does. And this information needs to get out into the public. And thank you for listening.
Anytime, and feel free to call back if you have any other information, Ed, and we'll pursue that. And I'd like to ask if you would write the editor and maybe making a request as a reader, they may approach us or approach Tina. Tina,
yes,
by the way, Tina, can you give your information, the contact information, and for people that may have questions for you?
Yes, they can write to me at LostFish, LostFish, at hawaii.rr.com, and I'll give them any information that I have.
Okay.
And I'm not in this for, you know, I'm not making money off of this stuff. I just, I'm sorry, but I just don't like crooks.
Yeah. Well, you heard it, folks. Something's wrong in Denmark.
That's right. A lot's wrong in Hawaii, too.
Well, if you would, hold on. We have another caller, and we'll be right back, Tina.
Sure.
And thank
I'm
you,
here.
Ed. Thank you so much. Aloha, Leo.
Aloha, Carol. You know, I'd like to suggest that Honolulu Weekly be contacted because they will publish this kind of information. Also, Pat Cummins has been very helpful. She prints Environment Hawaii, and I've been reading about this issue for months. And in the May issue, she talks about how Westpac is approving raising the caps on turtle interaction, which means more turtles dying. Mm-hmm. In other words, whatever they want to do to increase fishing, to heck with anything else. As a Hawaiian, it's unfortunate that we got taken in, at least some people, by one of our members being a part of Westpac, and it's made the headlines, the Puvalu, that was funded by Kitty, which I knew was a way for her to ingratiate herself with the Hawaiians, the native people, and I knew that was what the intention was. And now that has blown up in our faces, mm-hmm. and it's quite a mess. You can read about it in Environment Hawaii. And Hawaiians, as, you know, the people of the land, were really interested in protecting the resources, but they got roped in, mm-hmm. I believe, by people who did not have the best intentions of saving our aina and our kai.
I see.
So, you know, I wanted to share that with you. And if people are interested in getting a hold of Environment Hawaii, let's see if I can find it quickly. They're at 72 Kapiolani Street, Hilo, Hawaii, 96720. And, you know, every time this comes out, there's a huge expose mm-hmm. of some really horrible things happening in our environment.
Right.
And she, I know she shares this information hoping that the general public will, you know, get on their horses and move, because she's one person and she has some reporters that help her.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to take the information and use it to better conditions here.
Well,
and, you know, I had read about this Lost Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad, you know, that you have this lady on the air.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the champions, true champions in this, in just getting information, is Pat Tummins. I've known her for a while, and the idea is there needs to be some serious talking, and our local legislators need to stop eating the poke and feeding their faces with the fresh sashimi on opening day and start doing the job. That's where we can start. And writing in the weekly and all of that, it may be well written and well read, but the problem is these people are well fed, and that's where we are losing it. Our legislators, our local legislators, you can't approach them because they're getting the sashimi delivered to them on opening day of the legislators, and then get to the parties, and we need to stop that. And I applaud Tina and Pat and this the Western Central Pacific Network. Because, as you're saying, Leela, local fishermen, the longliners, the individual fishermen that fish locally in the waters are being impacted while these boogers are getting money by the buckets full.
Exactly.
And we need to stop that. And if there's anybody that's angered about this or what we're saying, you should be angered. And I'm hoping that I can stimulate you. And I don't like to inflame people or incite, but this is one occasion I'm going to take the liberty and see if I can.
We need to be beating on the doors of our federal representatives and senators,
mm-hmm.
as well as at the legislature, and saying, you know, what are you doing to us? You talk about aloha aina, the aloha spirit, and I guess it works if you have the right contacts, because it certainly pours into your pockets.
Mm-hmm. Well,
exactly. And may I?
Yeah, go for it.
Interject? Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Your name is Leo? Leela. L-E-L-A. Hubbard.
I'm very happy to hear you speak, Leela. And yes, I have been watching the Puvalu series. And I was angered and humiliated that Westpac would use the good native Hawaiian people and their good hearts to support what she was trying to do in getting, it was a grant for the nearshore waters. And she's still trying to do it. She's pretty much dropped the Hawaiian people just like she drops the fishermen. She pretends to be, you know, friends of the fishermen and get them all excited and get them to support her. And then when she gets what she wants, they're dumped. Mm. And that's pretty much what's going on with the Hawaiian people as well. And that whole Puvalu thing was Kitty's attempt to get the Hawaiians to influence legislation for her, because she knew she couldn't do it directly. It's illegal. But anyway, yes, the Westpac whole organization is involved in self-interest, and it is involved in making money for a few people, and for the rest, the fisheries are just, frankly, going to hell.
Right.
And that's what everybody is, and it's unfortunate because the fishermen have been led to believe that Westpac is their friend.
Right.
Westpac is not their friend.
Well, you know, Tina and Leela, funny thing is, you know, gambling is illegal in Hawaii, right?
Right.
But imagine having a federal agency that's managing a fisheries and our affairs. The fishermen, the longline fishermen, the local fishermen, they're doing nothing but gamble. Before they leave the shores, they have to invest in fuel,
uh-huh.
ice, people, time, and to go out there and fish their hearts out, expose themselves to the danger and what have you, to provide fish for the local market, and it's an economy
uh-huh.
that it's driving. They return, it's a gamble. $20,000, $30,000 for just few to go out and take a chance. And then to come back, and the insulting part of this is that you then got to submit your fish to an auction block. And by the way, there's only one auction block in towns, and how did we arrive at that? So Western Pacific Fishers Council should have been thinking to strike a balance to protect the fishermen, but they don't. So the longliners and the other fishermen come in with their fish, and then they are, I've described it, and it, as insulting as it sounds, I believe now they've been reduced to the role of sharecroppers because they take a chance, go out and fish, come back, and may get $1 or $2 or $3 a pound, depending. And the other part of that is, through the back door, we have tons and tons of fish being brought in from foreign sources.
Exactly.
And nobody is saying anything, and yet they're protecting the local fishermen. And that is absolutely wrong. And I spoke earlier about a lawsuit that we did with some of the big grocery stores. And Don Quixote has agreed in discussion that, for example, the use of the name Opaka-paka, they have agreed to discontinue the use of that word. These fish were brought in from Indonesia, but they were selling them as Opaka-paka, using the Hawaiian language. So Westpac using the Hawaiian people to elevate itself and shield itself from what it's really about. And then you have industry shipping fish here, calling it Opaka-paka. How on earth could a longliner, a bottom fisherman, or a local fisherman survive when you have this kind of forces working against you?
Carol, another question I have is how much of the local fish really stays here and how much ends up the prime fish in Japan?
Well, may I jump in here? I do have to address this. One of the reasons why the bottom fish closure season was made for the summer was because some of the big guys that were, you know, getting the big catches of the bottom fish were selling them to Japan for the New Year season, and that's, they get a lot of money from Japan for it. It wasn't coming into our market so much. It was going to Japan to make money.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we get carbon monoxide treated fish frozen being passed off as made fresh daily and
right.
on and on while the quality fish is being shipped out. Huh?
Yes, exactly. And that,
wow.
I think, is the disgusting point. And I think local people need to realize that. We're being had big time.
Well, I'm going to take this opportunity to, Leela, thank you, and it shouldn't have taken me to go get a radio show to have you to call me again. I've missed your conversation, those long conversations. and so
Take care, Carol.
I really appreciate it, and do call again, and don't wait until I have to come on radio to...
All righty.
Okay?
And
I need you to give me Pat Tommen's email. Could you give that? Do you have that over the air?
I don't have her email. I just have her snail mail.
Because
okay. I'm looking at a copy of Environment Hawaii.
Okay.
And I don't see it quickly.
Okay, well, no problem. Just give the name again, Environment Hawaii.
Yes, Environment Hawaii, 72 Kapi'olani Street, Hilo, Hawaii, 96720. And, I mean, it's packed with facts.
Okay.
They do have an excellent website as well.
Oh, you know their website?
Well, just Google Environment Hawaii and they'll find it.
Okay. And Tina, you have a website.
Lost the Fish does have a website, yes. It's Lost Fish, well, www.lostfishcoalition.org.
Okay. Well, Leela, thank you.
You're welcome. Ahuiho.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. And Tina.
Yes.
You can hold on for a minute. What I'm going to do in the coming week, the next couple of days, we have bumper stickers for all of you out there. We won't wait until someone else write our articles and publish us. I don't believe in that. That's not my approach to life. If I can't do it myself, then I don't believe I should be expecting others to do it. So as a result, if all of you, at minimum, we're going to have a bumper sticker that we're going to have available, and you can contact us at carol@carolcox.com. That's C-A-R-R-O-L-L @carolcox.com. And this bumper sticker basically will be talking about banning the use of carbon monoxide and the importation of it. At least that'll, if we can get that out of the way, that fish, then our local fishermen probably can see the light. And I just can't imagine it going any other way. So all of you out there, and you can write to us at the Carol Cox Show at 89-4202, Post Office Box 89-4202, Mililani, Hawaii 96789. And I really appreciate you. Have anything, Tina, that you want to add or that we did not discuss?
Well, I could go on for hours, and I hope you'll have me on again to talk about this, because there is so much. The more I deal with Westpac, the more stunned I am at the depth of how far this goes. It will surprise you, and some of it makes you laugh in despair, really. And I have a lot more that I can talk about.
Well,
so let's do it again sometime.
Here's an open invitation. You call me when you're ready to talk or have something. Don't be shy.
Great.
And I really appreciate what you're doing, and I know some people have issues, but who cares? If you aren't able to talk about them, we can put our heads in the sand, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, I really would encourage people like Leela to, you know, write to the papers, write to the editors, write to their congresspeople. You know, Kitty has a full-time staff and a lot of money, and she has people that specialize on just spinning the press to make it look like they're doing good things. And, you know, there needs to be another voice out there that can counteract that, and that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do right now.
Okay.
So if anybody, you know, just write and start making a fuss about things. That's how democracy works.
Well, we hope that this all come to a head, and I'm concerned with what's happening with the fishing industry. If this is a display of the management that's going on behind the scenes, I question anything they're doing, and I have questioned that. And so anyway, Tina, I appreciate your time, and please feel free to give us a call anytime.
I will, and thank you, Carol, for inviting me.
All righty, and this is the Carol Cox Show at KWAI. We appreciate your listening, and come back next week, and again, you can pick this up on carolcox.com. Thank you.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep 7, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the deep seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the Northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.